Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Well, now joining me in studio is a globally renowned award-winning physician, Dr. Patrick Tracy, because he has just produced a book. It's called Destinations, Medical Stories from Around the World. Patrick, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
When I went through your book, there's a two-word phrase that sprang to mind. Forrest Gump.
I see.
You were everywhere. Where things were happening, you were there.
I wonder what music track they would put with the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about your travel, your journeying, your medical adventuring.
Sure. Okay.
What started you?
If we look at destinations, it's not a travelogue. It's not about places. It's about, I suppose, experiences that I've been through. And as a doctor, you are let into people's hearts and lives in a way that's very naked compared to other situations. So they say that medicine cures the body and travel cures the soul. So in many ways, the book is a reflection on being a witness to history as it happened, something like the Berlin Wall, for instance, or humanitarian effects like the Haitian earthquake when we were there, or maybe world events like being in Iraq just before America invaded it. And as a consequence, the book is more about how it changed me.
Sure,
as a person.
But at the same time, you seem to be coincidentally in places where things were happening.
So yes, yes.
Explain your journey, your CV, if you like, that led you to travel so much.
Gut stuff might be uncomfortable for you to talk about, but it's even more uncomfortable for you to deal with. And you have better things to do this year. Don't let your gut get in the way of that. Kick off the year of the habit and get science-backed digestive support during Ritual's New Year's sale. Their 3-in-1 clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotic help support a balanced gut microbiome. The delayed release capsule is designed to help reach the colon where probiotics can actually survive and grow, so you can focus less on your gut and more on sharpening your salsa dancing skills or whatever your 2026 goals are. Start a habit that sticks with 40% off your first month, plus a free gift with purchase at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Some of the places I happened to be there and some of the places I went there by sort of choice. So I was in, I suppose, Lebanon was invaded. I was in Iran under Saddam Hussein. I was in Northern Ireland when it kicked off, and all those places I happened to be there. But some of the places like Berlin, for instance, I went there myself.
You went there
by
deliberately,
choice.
Yeah.
Yes. I used to live in Germany, and I knew Berlin fairly well, and I wanted to witness history. And also, I was on my way down from Gibraltar to Cape Town, and I went to Russia just when it changed in 1991, January.
There's a great story in your book about you spying an old lady who had something on her face which you thought that might be a melanoma.
Yes.
Now, explain the state Russia was in at that particular point.
Okay, so believe it or not, a totally different Moscow than exists now. Poverty certainly was everywhere. The people, food queues in the shops and nothing in them.
I've often talked about the Gum store when I was there around that time.
Yes.
And the Gum store
that
was...
That happened in the Gum store.
Yeah, like it was so derelict almost.
Yes.
It was a terrible place. And now it's full of chic goods and
boutiques. Oh my God.
Boutiques.
Should I tell that story?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So I was there with my girlfriend at the time, Julie, and when she was buying some of these Russian dolls, and I seen this lady walk by with a sort of what looked to me like a melanoma on her face. So I said to Julie, and she says, no, don't get involved. She knew what I was like, you know. So I said, no. So she stopped buying the dolls, and we followed the woman. But, you know, it's like three or four stories up. So she was getting into a lift to go down, and I could see her. So I followed her down. Julie followed me. And then I got into, she got into a taxi. So we decided we'd follow her.
Follow that cab.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I thought the taxi would be only like 100 yards, but went on for miles and miles through all these concrete sort of skyscrapers. As she got out of the taxi, I told our taxi, wait, I'll be back. And I lost her. So we went, I thought she was in the first floor. So I asked this person, do you know somebody with a black thing on their face? And they said to me, yeah, we do actually. So we went to the store, but it was a Negro person. They thought it was somebody with a black face. And then I seen her going into a building or going into an apartment. So I went and knocked on that door, and her daughter was there, like a big babushka, blocking the whole thing. And she was very suspicious of me. What do you want and all the rest? And I could see the woman in behind me. I said, I want to talk to your mum. So I got this translator, and she says, I think you have a melanoma on your face. And she turned around to talk to each other like they do back and forth, and says, yes, we know it's a melanoma. And she's getting it taken off on Wednesday morning.
So it was already well in hand.
It already was well in hand, yeah.
Yeah, but it might not have been. The thing, I suppose, at the time, you could get the subway from anywhere to anywhere for 5 kopecks.
Oh, it was beautiful subway.
Brilliant subway.
The metro was beautiful.
And, you know, people had a roof over their heads. And then with the fall of the Soviet Union, everything changed.
Totally.
So the rich became very, very rich.
Yes.
And the poor became very, very
poor. A lot of people don't understand exactly what happened there. And if we leave the oligarchs out of it, and what happened mostly was the fact that the state owned all the properties, and particularly the older people, they decided to just give them back to the people. So those people were taken advantage of by a lot of criminals in the building and that, and forced them to hand the property over. And as a consequence, I was in Russia during that period, and I could witness almost and see that happening. Yeah.
Yeah. And now you've been all over the place. What brought you to Monrovia?
Monrovia.
You weren't in Monrovia, no?
No, in Liberia.
Liberia, Monrovia? Yes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, yeah. What brought me there? Okay, well, that's a story within itself as well. I suppose Michael Jackson had been a patient of mine. He had that song, Liberia, and I was the ambassador to one of his groups, the Michael Jackson Legacy. So they were building an orphanage there. So when I went down to open the orphanage, I was supposed to be there with the deputy president of the country, but he was in America at the time. And we discovered there was a bit of mishandling of the money.
Mm.
So even though we opened the orphanage, it wasn't really the same orphanage as we thought. For instance, the four-wheel drive SUV, which they paid €16,000 for, I seen it parked up with a different sticker from another country. And the wall that they'd built around the orphanage, unfortunately, was the place next door. But anyway, we got it up and running, and Ebola just kicked off then as well. I was down in Mamba Point, and I mean, Ebola just was starting, and one of the doctors that I'd met was one of the first people who died in Liberia at the time. I'd forgotten about that. That was back in 2012, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, your book is so enormous in its scope. For instance, working with the flying doctors in Australia.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
I mean, that's an extraordinary thing. And earlier in the program, we had a guest on from Melbourne, and we were talking off air about the vast distances that...
2,500 miles west of Sydney. I have a funny story, if we have time, you know, the Flying Doctors. So I'm there on my second night, and my pilot is a Norwegian guy, Magnus, and he sees me looking. This call comes in, and you've got to remember, in the outback, there's no mobile phones work. They work by satellite phones that sort of kick in and out every now and then. So he turned around to me, and I got almost like a Northern Ireland couple. One was Gladys and one was Sam. And Sam says to me, "Doc, she's really crook. She's pain going down her arms. She's pretty sick on me, mate." And I said, "Okay," to myself, because we used Angie said that. So I'm looking it up, and I wasn't sure it was Angie Med or Angie said, because Australia had a different name. Mm-hmm. And Magnus turned around and said, "All the British or Irish have a problem with this. It's number 6. So on the wall, the 42 boxes, 6x7, they don't know the names of any of the drugs. So you may give them number 21, which could be Augmentin. Okay. Look. So I turned around and I says, "Okay, listen, what you've got to do is go to number 6, take 2 tablets out, put them under your tongue," and then the thing broke off. So we did go 22 mile before he came back in again, you know. And I sort of said to him, like, "How is she now? It cut off again." And Magnus said, "Don't worry, she'd probably be okay." But then we did a roo run to land. So in other words, you'd scare away the kangaroos on the property. And a police car arrived. And I said, "Shit, my second night, I'm in trouble now." But she was in the back of it. And the guy jumped out and he says, "Where's the doc?" "Doc," he says, "let me tell you, mate." He says, "I don't get off the property very often. So I went to get a number 6. There was nothing in it. So I give her a number 2 and a number 4 and she come up fine." And one is metoclopramide for nausea, but the other was his fertility pill.
Now, there was another case where you were dealing with what looked like an overdose. And a poor woman was there, and the paramedic who arrives wants to give...
Oh, yes, indeed. That was in Melbourne. Actually, it's about 4 years ago since I wrote this book, and I don't remember. That was the last night Men at Work were playing before they went to Brazil, and I was coming back up through Kilduff, which is sort of like a red light area, but now it's gentrified, it's very different. And this woman in front of me actually went blue, comatose, and I was first on the scene. She was the lady of the night. With her friend. And I sort of turned around and said, "You know, has she taken any heroin?" And they think, "Yeah, she did take some." But I had done a lot of A&E, and I knew what an opiate or a heroin overdose.
So you were looking at her eyes to see how dilated they were.
They weren't pinpoint. They were the other way around. So I said, "It's not an overdose like it's here, you know." And so I turned around and I called in the ambulance, because I worked in that state at the time, and they arrived as well, and they wanted to give her some naloxone. I said, "No, don't. She's something else."
Naloxone will bring back someone who's OD'd on heroin instantly.
Yeah, and she at this stage was going to die before her eyes. She was totally blue and out of it and began to fit. And I said, "Give her some adrenaline." And because I'd used to work in St. Vincent's in Dublin, and in the Meath, I was well used to heroin overdoses, you know, and this wasn't one. So I turned around, I give her some adrenaline. She woke up, and believe it or not, she said to her friend, "I told you not to give me any fruit and nut, you effing bitch." She was an allergy to nuts.
To nuts, and that's what it was. My goodness.
Yeah.
Now, I suppose if she got naloxone, it wouldn't have done her any harm,
but it wasn't going to save her. It may have done her a bit of harm.
Wasn't going to save her life, though.
It wasn't going to save her, and it may have, actually, it has its own side effects. It could have knocked off a cardiac arrhythmia, but yeah.
The world, as you have come across it, has been a very unequal place and a very troubled place. I mean, how does that leave you after all your travels and all your experiences?
That's a very good and pertinent question, and it's very obvious when you're in Africa. I spent a lot of time there, the effects of what colonialism has done to it, and, you know, sort of these people now, they're a product of the consequence of history, rather than, it's very easy to look at them and sort of say, you know, we just recently put a water pump into a village in Uganda, which has changed people's lives totally. And you're saying to yourself, well, why can't the people do this themselves? So you got to think with a different head, and you got to also, I suppose, get a lot of the people out of the charity mode that they're continually just begging for us to do things. So that's a talent within itself, how you actually get the people to shake off what was colonial effect.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have this thing in Ireland of being again the government is always the thing. Because of our colonial history, we have a certain suspicion of government all the time.
You can see it here as well, yes.
So that's what they have inherited, that the people in power were always basically out to rob the system.
There you go. And it's something you've got to put in front of you when you're dealing with the people that sort of you're not going to see them as if they were your next door neighbour in Dublin or something.
Yeah.
That these people, you know, have been.
A question from a listener. I wonder what he makes of widespread cocaine and other drug use here in Ireland compared to those historical days when heroin ruled the roost.
Yeah. It's a very good question. One of the things that you tend to do, believe it or not, and this isn't in any way averting the question, is to sort of stand back from things and either be critical or do an analysis straight up. Often the effects of places I've been or in past comment is more when time passes and you look back on it. If the question is, would people be better off on cocaine rather than heroin as a doctor? I think that's true, probably. I mean, we were here 20, 30 years ago when heroin devastated all the working class areas. I was a doctor myself down in Sunrise, seeing all the things as radio doctor at nighttime. And I mean, people out robbing you, taking your bag and feigning heart attacks just to get your drugs and being robbed. And that happened to me many times in Dublin. So Dublin is a different city. It's much nicer now. It's cleaner now. It's certainly less violent now. You don't have any of the marches, heroin marches anymore. And if cocaine doesn't cause the same level of dependency. Obviously, if you're older taking cocaine and you've got your cardiopath with sort of, you know, the potential for heart disease on board, you've 20 times a higher chance of getting a heart attack at 50 than you would at 20. Sure. But if my choice of drugs in terms of Dublin, I think I prefer cocaine.
Yeah. Now, the book is a massive tome. it's available in softback. It's available everywhere. Have your travels ceased?
Absolutely not. No. Actually, I was looking at May and I've got a longevity conference in India. I'm just after turning down Cairo. I've got one in Italy and also one in Istanbul, and that's just May alone. And I'll be in Paris in 2 weeks' time with 25,000 doctors. And
well, there'll be another volume then.
Oh, yes.
Destinations,
to be continued.
The book is called Medical Stories from Around the World, and its author is Patrick Tracy. Patrick, thank you very much for joining us in the studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works. For members like Jojo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. And Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.